Blog Talk Radio.
On that channel, one called Shut the Fuck Up, one called Daily Dose, and one called Think Green. And we wanted to interview her because she is right on point as far as how things are, the political landscape, and what people should be doing. So we want to go ahead and interview her. And see what she has to say about everything. So I'll go ahead and bring her on, and then she can just give you a brief description, you know, of who she is and that sort of thing, and then we'll get into some discussion. So it should be fun. I see a bunch of people starting to file in, so thank you guys for showing up, even though I couldn't send the links out. Of course, I'm in Facebook jail. One other thing I wanted to say, and I haven't gotten a chance to tell you guys, is I definitely appreciate all you guys snapping on Blog Talk for me. I didn't think anybody would do that, but that was so awesome, man, because they contacted me, and, you know, they were like, we, you know, didn't realize what was happening with your account. They went ahead and fixed the account. Because a bunch of people were inboxing, getting on their chat, and also they were contacting Blog Talk via the different outlets that you can contact them with. It was hilarious, but they were like, yeah, we'll fix it, and everything's fixed now, so I can go back to doing shows in the prime time again. Because unfortunately we're being censored. And it was kind of ironic because Deb had just done a show on censorship and that sort of thing. So we'll ask her about how she feels about the censorship and has she gone through it yet. So without further ado, here is Deb Della Piana. And if you could just give our listening audience, you know, a brief description of you, you know, where are you from? How'd you get into this? You know, just a brief background, and then we'll get into the interview. So without further ado, here is Della, or excuse me, Deb Della Piana. You have the floor, Della.
Thanks. Hi, I'm really happy to be here, and I'm really happy that, you know, we found each other. So let me give you a little bit of background. I was always, you know, political, even when I was young. I mean, you know, someone you might call a kid. With all the 60s stuff going on, I was really too young to really paint in a lot of those demonstrations, but I followed all that stuff. And, you know, when Nixon got elected, I started getting involved a little bit more. And with, you know, even with Kent State around 1970, that just struck a chord with me, even as a teenager. And I actually started going around to college campuses in my area. I live in the Boston area. I'm in Stoneham, about maybe 7 miles out of Boston. And I went down to, like, Bridgewater State and talked about Kent State and why it shouldn't, you know, be allowed to fade into oblivion. So I actually had an FBI file a while ago when I was very young. And I just stayed active in politics. Now, I was your typical, you know, Democratic supporter because I had been brought up in a Democratic household. I knew I wasn't a Republican. I mean, you know, I'm a lesbian. I'm a female. There's no way that's an oxymoron to be a Republican. So I was pretty much a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. And when I finally, the thing that really turned me off was, I have to say, Barack Obama. I knew pretty early into his first term that he was a sham. And, you know, I went through the whole process. I wrote a lot. I wrote a lot during his first term about how bad. I wrote very bad stuff about George Bush, and I don't regret any of that. I defended Obama for a while in his first term, but then by the time the second term rolled around, I really got a look at what it would be like to get that backlash from those Obama bots. And I took a lot of that stuff. At the time, I wasn't really doing any videos. I was just blogging on my blog, and, you know, going on Facebook. And, you know, it's stunning where we are right now. And it happened almost so slowly over such a long period of time that nobody recognized it until, I think, we're at the critical mass point. I think what really woke people up was the last election cycle. So
yeah.
I'm now completely radicalized. I'm on the left of everything. I don't want any shit from the Democrats. I mean, I only stay on the mailing list so I know what they're doing. You know, the same way I stay on the right-wing sites because I use, you know, assumed names to get information out of them so I know what they're doing. So I've been completely, I'm totally green now. I'm done with all of this. I actually went back to independent, and now I'm totally green. I'm done with, there's no chance in hell I'm ever voting for a Democrat again, so there's no point in being an independent. So that's where I am. I mean, I'm at the point where I really think we need to overthrow this government. I know I shouldn't be saying stuff like that, but, you know, I've been writing it. I've been saying it. I can't trust anybody in this government. I'm so tired of the Bernie Sanders supporters. They're almost as bad as the Clinton supporters now. I mean, I really believe that they're really holding back change. And I think that's unfortunate because I could tell people, you know what, don't vote. Don't buy into the system. Stay home. I know that's not going to happen. So in my opinion, if you're going to vote, how can it get any worse than this? It can't. Vote green. What's wrong with you people? Step over the border. Step outside the duopoly. You got to get away from that mess.
What do you think that is causing the people to not? I mean, obviously the Bernie Sanders supporters, which I was a supporter. You know, I'm not afraid to admit it. I've been green since '96. And I was around when everybody loved Clinton. And I was like,
right.
Hey, this dude's a loser. You know,
right.
And everybody's like, I can't believe you would say that about Bill Cole. He is the first black president. Get out of here. He is a whoremonger. You know, and then people didn't want to pay attention to all of that stuff. So in the 2016 cycle, we had, you know, everybody's Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. And then Bernie, here's what did it for me. California. We're going all the way to the convention, and this convention is going to be a contested convention. Ah, okay.
Yeah,
so guess what I did? $1,500 to go to Philadelphia just to go and watch him win a roll call vote early in the day, then suspend the second roll call vote and nominate Hillary Clinton and endorse him. And then throughout the whole primary, he was being blacked out. The election was stolen from him, that we come to find out, from the DNC fraud. So my question is, with all that said, why do you think these burners are not waking up as someone like me or someone like you when they see the corruption? What keeps them asleep, if you could answer that?
You know, here's my perspective. You know, I think people say to me all the time, well, you know, Bernie woke us up. I don't think that's the case at all. Here's what I think. Now, in retrospect, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I did the same thing you did. I was a big Sanders supporter. I brought all my friends and family along. I have two, honestly, quite conservative people in my family that voted for Bernie Sanders, okay? So, former GOP voters all their lives.
Wow.
All right? I convinced them to vote for Sanders. So
Wow. What
I think it is I don't think he woke us up. I think we had a whole bunch of disgruntled people anyway. I think the real left people that were in the Democrats at the time, for lack of a better place to be, because they're not educated enough to understand that it's the people that legitimize the parties. We can legitimize the Green Party very easily if we decide to do something different. And I don't know why people won't do it. But the bottom line is, these people were not, they were already disgruntled. I think what Sanders did is he projected himself as their savior, and people flocked to him. And I think he was part of the game. I think
Agreed. Nobody
thought with the day he announced, what did he have, 2%
mm-hmm.
rating or something ridiculous like that? And I don't
mm-hmm.
think the Democrats ever expected him to catch on like that, because I don't think the Democrats really knew how pissed off everyone was. Or they couldn't be bothered to find out, really. They were just going to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think that the whole situation was that the Democrats and the Republican duopoly party both were in an enormously thick bubble. And the arrogance was out of this world as far as how they viewed the public. And they didn't understand that the public is tired of the same old, because the public is stupid, but we're not dumb.
Right.
So that's the whole situation, and
right.
in my view. And okay, so now with those things, okay, because I agree with you that these people, the left are claim, you know, to be educated, but in actuality, they are only educated on their views. You know what I mean?
Right.
A true leftist like you knows what the right's doing and what the left's doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's being completely educated and well-rounded. And I don't believe the lefties are really well-rounded in that regard. Can you speak to that fact as far as how we can get, you know, do we continue to just beat the drum of the Green Party? Or what is your view as far as how do we garner more support for the Greens? Or how do we get that awakening, so-called, that the Sanders campaign got?
You know, that's a really tough question. And I think, you know, the thing I really feel bad, you know, people say to me, I've gone to Green Party meetings, they're disorganized. I said, listen, you know why they're disorganized? I said, they're disorganized because they are constantly in fire mode. You know, it's they've got to get this percentage to be able to get in the ballot, or they're going to go out and get 50,000 signatures. I said, this is the problem with what we have here in America. We have a system where they keep out new voices by expecting them to attain ridiculous levels of recognition when they have no avenue to get that recognition. I really think we have to keep beating the drum. I think we have to beat the drum and get people on board. I think we have to convince people to go to meetings and sit in. And people need to volunteer to help this party. They are enormously uneducated about what being a good citizen is. And I think that that whole dumbing down process has been – well, I remember when I was a kid, we had a class called civics. And we learned what it was to be a citizen, and it wasn't just voting every 4 years. And they have stopped teaching that class. You know, they call it social studies now. And basically it's just rote revisionist history. And I know because I have a 16-year-old son, and he never does his projects alone. And I'm always wanting to rewrite the history book for him. And, you know, then I say to myself, but wait, I need him to pass this class. So I stay away from it. But I think half of our battle is an education process. But, you know, the thing I worry about is, do we have enough time to educate people the way we need to educate them? Because, honestly, I'm kind of in the Chris Hedges mode. You know, anything short of an entire new system, and we failed. Because there is no fixing this system, right? Even with, you know, even with moving to the green, I think if we could make this easier, if we could just break the back of the duopoly, I think that is absolutely key. So we have two ways we can do that. We have Sarah Friels, who I'm sure you know, who is out there trying to bring down the DNC, and I'm behind her on that. I'm helping her out with that as well. Right? We can either cause these parties to crash and burn so that something rises up from it, or we have to get people to switch and think outside the box. And I think that's the hardest part, is to try to get people to switch, because I think people are now afraid. And they're returning back to the same old, same old. They're back to, look, I'm looking at, people say to me, well, a lot of people are awake. I said, yeah, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on MeWe, and I'm on Minds, and I'm looking at people going back to the Democratic Party, right back into the same situation they were in a year ago, a little over a year ago. And what do they think is going to be different this time? Nothing is going to be different this time. You know,
right. And another thing, too, in my view, is that, the elders, the older people, you know, like us, I'm on the cusp of Generation X, you know, and my generation didn't do a very good job, or the boomer generation, of educating the younger people as far as, like you said, civics, what it means to be a citizen. You know, we didn't do that in our homes, you know, and that's part of the reason why, you know, in my view, that we are in this situation too. So with that said, so now we get people to try, we go out, try to fight the DNC. What do you say to people who, because we've been doing this for a long time, and what do you say to people who say, well, why are you always worried about the Democrats when the Republicans are in power? Why are you always harping on what the Democrats do? What do you say to those people?
I get that all the time. I get that all the time. You know, every time I post something about the Democrats, you know, I get somebody that says, look what Trump is doing. You know, and here's the problem. You know what? There's an incredible – that whole propaganda – machine there, that has been built up for so many years that's a tough nut to crack, because it's the Democrats have been portrayed as the party of, you know, the people. And if you look back, I mean, I don't know any other way to go about this other than to list facts. I mean, there are facts out there now that will show you just exactly the game the Democrats play. And I don't understand. I mean, these people actually know that Bernie Sanders was cheating. And I'm thinking he's going to get the nomination this time around. And I think we're in a state of mass delusion. I mean, this is the only thing I can think of. You know, I see people on Facebook every day, and it's like every day it's all Donald Trump has to do is fart or speak or whatever he does, and he is the subject of everything. You know, it's like, people who are out there saying that Donald Trump cheated on his first wife with his second wife with his third wife, who cares? Seriously. I mean, that is not an issue. I think we have a giant case of delusion here. And I think people are so afraid of what's coming down that they're just running back into the arms of where they've always been. It's like it's like a woman running back to an abusive husband or an abusive partner even. You know?
Great example.
Because they're afraid to strike out. But I think that there is no way for us to vote ourselves out of this. It doesn't matter. I mean, even if I'm doing the big go green thing, but I still think we have to tear the system down. And I think the Green Party will function much better in a better system, quite frankly. Because the Green Party is truly progressive. And if people want to call themselves progressive, that's the platform that they have to look at. It makes the Democrats look like Nazis, for crying out loud. Let's get real. You know, I haven't seen a progressive Democratic platform in years.
Honestly. Me either. Me either.
Right. And I used to point that out in the 90s. Yeah, I haven't seen the Democrats live by their platform. And I haven't seen the Democrats actually do anything by defending that lawsuit the way they defended it. Bruce Spivey, their attorney, I haven't seen the Democrats do anything. That's basically a giant middle finger to all of America. We can do what we want because we're a private organization, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what, though? You really can't do whatever you want because guess what? The primaries, at least, are paid for by the taxpayers. So that argument goes right out the window. I'm trying to find an attorney that will allow me to sue the Democratic Party for the primaries. Just to make a point. So, you know, if the taxpayers are paying, I don't care whether you're a private organization or not, you're not functioning within a private voting system. The taxpayers are paying for that on a state-by-state basis.
That's true. And then that's another thing. This is why it's so important for independent media like yourself, Green News Network, all the other, you know, Holly's Channel, all these people who are bringing this truth. That's why it's so important for us to have these platforms and for people to, and for us to push this and just push it hard. Boom, 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 bang down that door. And eventually we'll bust it down, in my view.
I think so, too. But, you know, if you look at the enormity of, if we were to, say we decided, okay, you know what, we're going to forget this whole revolution thing, and we're going to work within this system. Do you realize the amount of stuff that would have to be done? First of all, the mainstream media, somehow we would have to get rid of that whole Telecommunications Act. I don't know if anybody's really looked at history and seen how many laws have been repealed in the history of our nation. It's almost ridiculous, you know? It just doesn't happen. And people who are thinking that, well, as soon as the Democrats get back in, they're going to repeal, you know, Trump's tax law. Well, you know what? Barack Obama made Bush's tax cut permanent. So that's not going to happen because basically both parties are working for the same handlers. All the Democrats bring to the table is identity politics. That's how they differentiate themselves. That's what the whole Women's March was created for. And, you know, that march, when I was down in Washington and they were planning Occupy Inauguration, it was supposed to be Occupy Inauguration no matter who was elected because it was planned before the election.
I remember that.
So, and then all of a sudden they get down here and there's a Women's March. And I get down to where the Women's March was and I see all of the operatives, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, all of them there. And I said to myself, oh, I see what this is. The Democrats and George Soros stole this Occupy inauguration and turned it into an anti-Trump march. And, you know, that's really what's been going on. I've spent hours down there talking to people about what it would take to get people to back a strike. And just talking to the women in the march, they don't even have – I said, why are you marching? Because Trump is such a pig with women. I said, okay. Those are the only issues on your table right now. And this is what I mean. That's a non-issue. In my book, I mean, it's not a non-issue, but it's one of the issues. He's not a good guy. We all know that, right? I mean, everybody knows that. And I think Chris Hedges is right. It's when we get to this point in, you know, where our empire is in history right now, what happens when you get to this point is you get to the buffoon stage. And, you know, touting Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, that's pretty buffoon stage for me. It may be a different kind of buffoon than Donald Trump, but that's a buffoon stage. And people who fall for that, they're buffoons too. And, you know, people have to wake up. I mean, I know it's hard. I mean, this stuff, nobody wants to look at this. I know it. I know it just from being around my own family, you know. Oh, we don't want to talk politics today. Okay, don't worry about it.
Do you think it's like a cognitive dissonance type of thing where people just don't want to see the truth
or is it the
propaganda?
No, I think, you know, I think the propaganda, you know, I spent 35 years in advertising and I can tell you, one of the things we learned was you have to keep beating the drum, beating the drum, beating the drum. Don't change the message. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. I think they've done that. I think they've done that to the point where, you know, even with Trump, I mean, it didn't take very long. It's not like it took years to vilify him, right? People think that our problem started on January 20th, 2017. It started way before that, you know?
Right.
It's, this has been coming in slow motion. You know?
Right. Exactly. So why do you think? I mean, it was just blatantly obvious in the Obama years, especially his second term, because he went all out second term to destroy the America. So, why do you think that? Is it his personality is why people couldn't see past him starting 5 wars in the Middle East and dropping 26,000 bombs on Syria in 1 year? What do you think that whole thing is? Why you know, people are, they see these things, but yet they're like, well, Obama, he did this. What do you think that comes from? Is it the media?
I really do. I think it's everything. I think it's the media, and I think he is very slick. And you know, I think he looks good doing what he's doing. I think, you know, he says things like, I'm really good at killing people, and people laugh. But he meant it. He did that interview. He was talking about the drone thing. He goes, I found out I'm really good at killing people. And you know what?
Yeah.
I think he's just kidding. You know, he's a great guy. You know, the people that really annoy me are the people who see pictures of him and his family and say, look at this. So they're not non-dysfunctional at all. How do you know that? You know nothing about what they really are. Because, you know, they've been selling you the president since 1968 with Richard Nixon.
Yep.
That was when it started. And this is all veneer. I mean, I think the American people vote on what's on the outside. I don't think they vet anybody. Like, let me tell you a conversation I had the other day with somebody about Chelsea Manning. Now, I consider Chelsea Manning a hero. I really do. But
me too.
To base voting for Chelsea Manning on just that, that's insane. You need to find out where she stands on everything. And so apparently people haven't gotten that message yet, that you actually have to vet these people. And people are just saying, somebody said to me, how dare you say that about her? She's a hero. I said, yeah. And I said, if you go back and look at everything I've ever said about that woman, I agree with you. But that doesn't mean I'm going to vote for her until I know what she stands for. You know,
that's common sense. You think, you know,
you think that's
common sense, but it's not. Can you speak to that point? Have we gone to the point of no return as far as a people? Because I know we can. 30% of the country decides elections. So I know if we can get a number of people to come on our side, we can actually do some things and win elections. But do you think we are at a point of no return as far as a country as a whole, 326 million?
Do I think we're at a point of no return? I honestly don't know that we're at a point of no return, but I can tell you this. It's going to take a lot more than just voting to get us out of this. And I know one thing. I mean, I went – one of the best things I did do when I went down to that march that I didn't march in – was I listened to Chris Hedges and Sharma Sawant and Jill Stein, and I'm right there with Chris Hedges. The only thing that changes us now is making them afraid of us. And, you know, if we can do that now, you know, we can actually make serious change, but they have to fear us. Like all of these people who, I'll give you an example, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I mean, people put that guy, he's like on a pedestal. But, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave us the New Deal for one reason. He was an elite. And he had a lot of elite crony friends. And he actually told his elite crony friends that, you know what, we have to give these people something or they're going to destroy capitalism as we know it. He sees himself as the savior of capitalism. Everybody else sees him as this god that we have to revere. And actually, he was being practical for his own self-preservation, to be perfectly blunt with you. If you read his letters, you'll find that out. I agree with you.
That's where progressivism came for, the, you know, the will to stand up, you know, came through that. So I commend him in that regard. But he did start World War II on bogus pretenses.
And I agree.
And that's right.
So the same great guy basically told everybody to stand down at Pearl Harbor. And you know, it's that whole, we put these people up, they're not gods. okay, these people are elected to do a job. You know,
right.
It's like if I hire someone to fix my refrigerator, I expect them to do the job I want them to do. This is the way we
damn
have to
right.
look at politicians. We are their employees. We are their employers, rather. They are our
right.
employees, okay?
Damn
they're supposed
right.
to be carrying out the will of the American people. If they really cared about the will of the American people, they wouldn't have stolen that primary. If they really, if Bernie Sanders really cared about what the American people need, he, Tulsi Gabbard, Nina Turner, and Dennis Kucinich, who disappoints me running as a Democrat for governor in Ohio. I love that guy. You know, at one time, all of these people,
yeah.
if they really cared, they could move right now out of that party and legitimize
yeah.
another party immediately. But the fact of
immediately.
The matter is, right,
yep,
the fact
exactly.
of the matter is, they don't want to because they're nice and comfy where they are. So we have to make them uncomfortable.
Agree.
Yeah, but,
great
but
points, especially to make them afraid. I think we need to push that point the most. They have to be afraid of the Green Party. They have to be afraid of the American people, just as the politicians were afraid back in the 40s that we were going to revolt if they continued the way that they were running capitalism. So you are 100% on point with that. We're actually running out of time. I got a few callers in the queue. Let me just get some callers in this queue and see if they want to speak. We have a caller at 614-745. You are live on Painted Green. You have the floor.
Hi, this is Felina.
Hey, Felina, good to hear you. Did you have a question or a comment?
Well, y'all were all over the place, so I don't know where to begin. Where do you see, because everyone's talking about how they are testing the waters and throwing all these potential candidates out there in front of us to see how we're going to react to Oprah and some corporate Democrats and now Chelsea. And what do you think they're really trying to do at this point? Because to me it seems like they're just making it worse, so I don't know. I'm looking ahead here.
Right.
Well,
what do you think about that, Deb?
You know, I, the thing that makes me very nervous about the Oprah piece, and actually it's very telling, is somebody like, you know, the lead Democratic donor there. I don't remember his name, but there is a big Democratic donor that says, well, hey, if you know, she's really interested in the nomination, it's hers. I think we have to be aware of that. I think we have to be aware that our vote really does not matter, and that you know, it's a situation where I'm not sure they're just testing the waters. I think they use, just like they use Bernie Sanders to raise a lot of money, I think that's what they're going to use Oprah Winfrey for. That's what I think.
Right.
And
so it's
and
just
it may
a
be,
money thing as opposed to power. More money than power. Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, I think if they, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to actually run her, though. You know, I think
right.
now that a guy like Trump has won, you know, all bets are off. You know,
right.
actors, actresses, let's face it, you know. And this isn't, you know, 1776 anymore. We really have to think about, and this is, again, part of what I'm saying about changing the whole system. We can't just allow this to happen. We do have to have some kind of, in this world, the way it is today, some kind of qualification for even be allowed to run. If you're a climate change denier, I do not believe you should be allowed to run because
hell
you affect
yeah.
the whole world. So
damn
what
right.
I'm saying is I think some of these are tests. I think these things that they're throwing, all these distractions, the Oprah thing, you know, it's all to get you so flummoxed that whatever establishment thing they throw at you come 2020, that you're going to pick it up because you're going to be so depressed, so down, so not knowing what to do. I really do think a lot of this is a game they play, like the two mistaken missile launches, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what are they doing with that? That's not a mistake. Come on, people. In all these years, we've never had one. Suddenly we had two, you know?
Right.
You know, it's all, they're playing a PSYOP game with us. That's really what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's now like they've been doing it with Obama. And, you know, I'm not saying some of those shootings were hoaxes, but some of them were, to move public opinion, you know, for certain policies that they want to pass. And they've been doing that for years. So it's just now we see it. Now it's easily seen, you know. And so now there's – because there wasn't dissent. In the 90s and early 2000s, there was no dissent. I was the only dissenting voice in my area for the Iraq war. People spit in my face when I would go down to the grocery store and stand outside and say, bring our troops home. Spit in my face, 2004, right, the Fallujah situation. That's when I was, like, doing that. So the now there's dissent, you know, because of the Internet and all of these people who are have dissenting voices like you, Deb, me, Felina, Joe, you know, all of us who dissent and want to go against this duopoly and break it up. And that's what I've been pushing for the past, I'd say 21 years, but I've really been hitting it for the last two. We've got another caller here quick, and let me let you answer, you know, add to that, and then I'll bring this other caller on. But go ahead, Deb.
Just people don't realize the stranglehold that the duopoly has on our entire lives, everybody's lives. You know, every 4 years, we keep voting this way, right? Every 4 years, somebody's got to worry about their health care. You know, if a Democrat's in, you get some kind of cheap-ass, quite frankly, Romney care warmed over, which is what Obamacare is, because I'm in Massachusetts, and I know what Romney care is. And then, you know, and everybody thinks that's reform. And then in 4 years, you get a Republican in, and everybody is wringing their hands, wondering how the vote's going to go. And this is not the way it's supposed to be for the people. It's supposed to be certain things as a right. And I don't mind. People say, well, in Norway, they pay higher taxes. Well, guess what? They get free education. They get quality health care. They never have to worry. I pay higher taxes for that, too. But don't ask me to pay higher taxes to go bomb eight countries because I'm not going to pay that.
Exactly.
You know, we got to stop. You know, we're just they want to shut down the government. Don't file your taxes. If you're afraid, file a 90-day extension. Then file another 90-day extension. We got to make some kind of noise. We got to disrupt the status quo.
And I haven't paid income taxes for 14 years. I haven't filed an income tax in 14 years. If they come after me, so be it. They make me do the W-4 in order to have a job, like, you know, the 9-to-5. They make you do the W-4, so they'll take it out. But I don't file the income tax. I don't file those, and I haven't done it for, like, 14 years.
Yeah, I haven't done it since
so that's my
and
little contribution to up yours, the man. Let's get this last caller in. We actually only got about 8 minutes left in the show, so let me grab this last caller. This is a private number, so you have the floor, private number. Are you there? 111-111.
Oh, hey, Tony, this is probably me. This is Joe Manchick.
Oh, hey, Joe, did you have anything you wanted to add to the conversation, or did you want to ask Deb a question?
No, everything Deb said is totally spot on. Everything Felina said is totally spot on. Everything you said is spot on.
We just got to make sure other people get that message somehow. But again, you know, let me just make a final comment. I won't take too long here. The one thing we can't get complacent about is that we're getting everybody just because we're on the web. There are so many people who, A, don't use the web for this. I know, just being in my son's school, there are kids there that whose families don't even have computers. And this is not what I would call a poor area. It's a basically middle-class area. But there are some kids where they actually have to be able to print off the work, off Google Docs for them, so that they can do their homework, you know, in writing. We're not getting... And when you're, people say, well, you get millions of people on Facebook, some of those people are in other countries. They really, aside from support, they can't help us here. So what I'm trying to do is I'm now revamping Patreon. I'm trying to raise money so that when we come up to the strike, what we really need to do is we really need to get outreach going that's not on the web. And the only way to do that is with money. So I'm trying to revamp my Patreon page now, maybe raise some money for that. But I'm also adamant about one other thing. I don't want any rich people or any politicians backing my movement. This has to be from the people, and it's got to be grassroots. I wouldn't mind Jill Stein because she's outside the system, but when people say to me, we need to get Bernie behind the strike, I say, you keep Bernie to yourself. I don't want Bernie involved in my strike. I'm good.
Me either.
He won't back it anyway. So
exactly. He'll probably call it some kind of collusion or whatever or what have you, because he's sure toting that neoliberal line.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, he's out there just in 2016 telling people don't vote green. So any notion that he's going to run on a independent party ticket is I don't know why people even bother to collect names. He doesn't even take them. He doesn't even look at them.
Agreed. Well, we're about out of time. This was an excellent interview. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy your commentary. You're right on the money, right on the pulse of the American people and what we should be doing. And I definitely thank you for coming on the show. And just to let our listening audience know how many – let me see. One second. I'm going to see how many people – oh, we've got 219 people listening in, so that's not too bad for not sending out any links. So thank you guys for listening in. You can get with Deb Della Piana at her channel on YouTube at youtube.com. It's /user/ DEBEQUALITY 2754. That's Deb Quality 2754. That's /user/ Deb Quality 2754. Or you could just go to the search box and look up Deb Della Piana, and you can find her YouTube channel.
Too. If you find it on YouTube, I'm on BitChute also, and all you're going to do is just type in my name or become ungovernable, and you'll get there.
Okay, good. So. All right. And also, you guys, she's on Facebook, so just look her up in the search box on Facebook if you want to try to get a hold of her on Facebook. We here at the Green News Network are going to start carrying her YouTube videos and all of her stuff, and we're going to play it on our stuff. So if you can't find her or you forget her name or whatever, we run her stuff too, so you'll get to find her and you know, connect with her through us if you'd like to do that as well. So I just want to thank everybody again for listening in. Thank the callers for calling in. Thank everybody again for listening in. If you have any questions or concerns, you can email us at greennewsnetwork@hotmail.com. Or you can just come to our Facebook page and hang out with us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We've got social media sites all over the Internet, so you can hang out with us. So like I said again, thanks for listening in. I hope you guys have a great afternoon, and until we meet again at the appointed time. See you later, everybody.
Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye.
I could not foresee this thing happening to you.